you have these aha moments in your head, like, oh my gosh, that's how you fix this. Oh, yeah. That's how you do this. Mm-hmm. And you gain hope from all these things. Like, for instance, just step one, admitting I was powerless over what's going on. Like, the first thing is admitting I got an issue. Mm-hmm. I'm now, it just went from denial to now admitting. Mm-hmm. All right. Step two, getting God involved, because the very next step is, which is actually the first step, if you think about it, is now I'm going to, all right, there's a God that'll help me.
Yeah.
Jesus will help me. Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's kind of a 1-2 punch there, right?
Yeah, really is.
I can't do this, but God can.
Yeah, God can do it. Mm-hmm. And then I have to make a decision in step three to let him. Mm-hmm. Ah, just let him. What does that mean? Oh, I just got goosebumps up and down my body right now, like I was talking about earlier just now. So to let him, right? Step four, this is where it gets crazy. Now, I always heard about step four when I was in AA. And step four is simply...
Welcome to the Loving God, Loving People podcast, where we talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives and how, in the end, all that matters is God and people. Here's today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm sitting here with a good friend, partner in ministry, Mark Gill. Mark, you have been such a key part of this church, and a lot of people don't know who you are, but they see you. If you've ever been to a baptism, there's this guy who's hugging a bunch of guys, getting out of the water, and it's Mark Gill, and you've invested into so many people, and specifically in the area of recovery. And so today we want to kind of pick your brain, Mark, and kind of hear just what has recovery meant for you personally? And then what is, when we talk about Celebrate Recovery, what is Celebrate Recovery? Talk us through kind of what the steps and the process is and just the fruit that you've seen from it.
Well, that's good. That's a good question.
That's a big, broad question, right?
That's a big old question.
That's the kind of question that I can ask, and then I'll just sit back and listen to you for 20 minutes.
So I believe the first part of that question was...
What was your journey of recovery? Let's start there.
Yeah. So like I was introduced to recovery, you know, when I hit a bottom in 2005. And my first recovery stuff was Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was amazing. Introduced me to God. And then a couple, 2-3 years later, when I was introduced to the church here, then I was introduced to Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. And I tell people often, and I've said it from the stage, and that is that Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life, and Celebrate Recovery saved my heart. Mm. That's just how it feels. Mm-hmm. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous saved my heart as well, but like Celebrate Recovery, Jesus being the higher power, that's the difference. And you bring the Bible into it, everything changes. Just my whole heart changes. Mm-hmm. My thinking changes. That's my first part of that.
And it started, you, serious alcoholic. You were at a point where you tried taking your own life, and God intervened, and somebody showed up at your door, knocked on the door, and said, "Hey, would you come with me to this thing?"
Absolutely. That's exactly how it went.
Yeah. So when you say rock bottom, it was rock bottom. You were done with this life.
Yeah, I was done. And I was convinced that that I was better off not being alive. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing. When you're by yourself and you're isolated, you can talk yourself into thinking that the world doesn't care about you and be better off without you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I decided. I actually made that decision to end my life. And God intervened, but God, it's one of those but God moments, and he intervened. And he not only intervened and stopped a gun from going off, but he intervened by tapping a guy on the shoulder. At least that's what Glenn would say, the guy that came out to my house. He said that it's like, you know, God tapped him on the shoulder and told him to come find me. And the funniest part about that is that when you put the timeline together, at the time when he was getting tapped on the shoulders, when I was screaming a bunch of F-bombs to God to come help me. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, I've never really asked God for anything in my life, ever. I believe that was my first answered prayer that I remember of or know of, right? Mm-hmm. Is screaming to him for help. Mm-hmm. And I was at a bottom. Mm-hmm. And I'll be darned, you know, he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to come to help you." But first, I got to stop a gun from going off. I got to stop you from hurting yourself. And then he sends Glenn, you know. And then we have a moment where Glenn is literally talking to me about the first three steps of recovery. because he simply asked me three questions. He asked me if he can ask me three questions standing out on the porch when he showed up. And it was just simple three, the first three steps, you know, is, you know, hey, Mark, is your life unmanageable? And I'm like, oh,
check.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, then he asked me about God, step two. Well, what about God? And of course, oh, that was crazy. I was like, don't talk to me about God. And I was all mad. He's like, oh, sounds to me like you believe in God because you're mad at him. Mm. You know, can't be mad at something you don't believe in. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of when the light bulb went off in my head. I was like, holy crud, I believe in God. Mm-hmm. I even said that to myself. I know I did when I was standing there thinking. And then the third question was, is, since no one else has been able to help me, including the jails and the hospitals, you know, almost dying so many times, and, you know, family, kids, rehab centers, all these things. He's like, you know, how about give God a chance, the one that you're so mad at? And I said yes. Right. Yeah. And before I said yes, like I had all these tingles up and down my arms and legs. I think a lot of people get those in church now. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jesus tingles.
Uh-huh.
And I had those.
Yeah.
And I never had those before.
Yeah. Sometimes you get that. That's the Holy Spirit
yes.
moving. And you can't quite put your finger on what is happening right now. But there's something spiritual, supernatural going on in your physical body, and you're sensing it. And it's interesting sensation.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it was nuts at the time, and I felt it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, then after that, he asked me to get on my knees and pray with me, and I was like, oh, no. It's like, oh, no one's ever prayed with me.
Yeah.
but I was on my, once again, I'm on my knees, and he's grabbed my hands. He's got these big old hands, and I didn't hear a word he said. I just felt this tingling mm-hmm. up and down my whole body. I felt weightless almost. And I knew something was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then in my own brain, I'm like, oh, my gosh, everything's going to be okay. Like, I feel like everything's going to be okay as I'm mm-hmm. you know, doing this. And then I'm like, oh, no, nothing's okay. When he finds out, you know, that I put a gun to my head, all these things that, you know, the other side was back and forth.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. And then literally when he got done, and I, once again, didn't hear a word he said, but he looked at me and he's like, you know, Mark, if you do what I say and what the program of recovery says, everything's going to be okay.
Hmm.
That's what he says to me. And then he gives me a hug and we cried. It was amazing. And he was right because mm-hmm. I did what was suggested and he told me what to do. Mm-hmm. And he'd been telling me for 18 years. Now I'm listening today, you know, at this moment. And it was awesome because he was right. Yeah, I went into this simple program of recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, and listened to other people and found out I wasn't alone because mm-hmm. I thought I was alone. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very unique. And I think that's everyone's problem is we all think we're so unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one's going to understand me.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the enemy's tactic. You mentioned isolation. If the enemy can convince you that you're the only one that's dealing with this problem, there's something wrong with you, you're, you know, unlike everybody else, and you need to just hide it, keep it to yourself, don't talk to anybody else about it. That's the tactic. Because if I don't talk about it, I don't deal with it. And if I don't share it with other people and they share their story, I don't realize that, okay, this is all of us going through this together, and we all need help, and we all need God's influence in our life to transform us. Then I'll just continue to carry it. It'll grow. It'll become this thing that consumes you from the inside out. And so, there's power in that. So you mentioned, he said, hey, these principles will work. Now, I'll say I've seen anytime we want to get a good life change story, we go celebrate recovery. What do you got? Because there's just so many stories of transformation, major life change. What is it about the steps of recovery that make them so effective for people that have deep, deep strongholds and addictions? What is it about Celebrate Recovery or the recovery process that works 100% of the time when people walk the steps?
Well, I think it works because, first off, it's out of the Bible.
Mm.
All of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Alcoholics Anonymous, out of the Bible.
Even if they don't give credit to the Bible, that's where the principles come from.
Yeah, the first writing Alcoholics Anonymous had prayers in it and Bible verses. They had to take it out so they can help everyone, mm-hmm. right? So back to the Bible. It's a Bible. It's a basic way of living. So all these steps that are in there, I mean, a lot of people might grow up with good parenting and all that and get these steps mm-hmm. of life.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that a majority of people don't.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have that kind of wisdom that they grow up with. As a matter of fact, most people don't, from what I've learned. I know there's a lot of people out there that grew up and they had great parenting and they went to church maybe even and great schooling and they were taught basic things in life. The steps are basic way of living life, mm-hmm. In any situation. So, that's what I love about Celebrate Recovery is that it brought the Bible into it, mm-hmm. okay, and Bible verses. Mm-hmm. The Beatitudes, Jesus on the Mount, and when he's talking, a lot of that is in the principles. Mm-hmm. And so it works, you know. The Bible comes alive in Celebrate Recovery. Jesus comes alive. When he gets tangled up in your heart and he starts changing you through these, just going to meetings and sharing with other people and learning what the steps are and what the principles are, that in itself just starts changing it, everything in your life. But then when you work the steps of recovery, mm-hmm. like when you work a program, you get in what's called a 12-step study. When you do it one time, like the one time, the first time, mm-hmm. oh, it's like everything just, you have these aha moments in your head like, oh my gosh, that's how you fix this. Oh, yeah. That's how you do this. Mm-hmm. And you gain hope from all these things. Like, for instance, just step one, admitting I was powerless over what's going on. Like, the first thing is admitting I got an issue. Mm-hmm. I'm now, it just went from denial
yep.
to now admitting. Mm-hmm. All right. Step two, getting God involved, because the very next step is, which is actually the first step if you think about it, is now I'm going to, all right, there's a God that'll help me.
Yeah.
Jesus will help me. Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's kind of a 1-2 punch
yeah.
there, right?
Yeah, really is.
I can't do this, but God can.
Yeah, God can do it. Mm-hmm. And then I have to make a decision in step three to let him. Mm-hmm. Ah, just let him. What does that mean? Oh, I just got goosebumps up and down my body right now, like I was mm-hmm. talking about earlier just now. So to let him, right? Step four, this is where it gets crazy. And I always heard about step four when I was in AA. And step four is simply doing a moral inventory, an honest moral inventory mm-hmm. of yourself, what's mm-hmm. happened in your life.
Who have I wronged? Who's wronged me? What are the,
yep.
yeah.
Yep.
Look back and kind of catalog, okay, this is yep. this has been my journey and this has been the pitfalls along the way and these have been the challenges along the way and to actually look at your life.
Yeah. Yeah, you make it, you put it in rows. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, this person. Do you know it's not just a person? Like, for instance, for me, it was the post office because they kept on delivering bad news to me. Mm-hmm. And I literally was very angry at the postman mm-hmm. for years that they're bringing me the bad news.
Yeah.
Okay. That I had a resentment against that.
Wow.
I had a resentment against the police station, mm-hmm. the jails. So it can be places as mm-hmm. well, yeah. So you work through all those. And then there's a column where you talk about the effects it had in your life and maybe how you acted out and all this stuff. And then there's a last column that says, what's your part in it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because, like, a lot of times we'll play the blame game.
That's right.
It's everybody yep. else as well.
Yeah. Everybody has excuses as to why things are the way that they are, whose fault it is. And it's amazing because I can do the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't start with me. I start with everybody else. Everybody else is the problem, all these other things. But doing these steps, you actually get to the point where you go, okay, I'm a major contributor in all of these stories and all of these instances. I'm the common denominator in all of them. And there's probably some things that I've done that I need to own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I was making the list. By the way, I did the first three steps in less than 5 minutes, and it took me 9 more months to start do my 4-step.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the difficulty in our thinking.
There's a couple mountains to climb there, just even mentally.
But this whole 4-step thing, you know, I was doing it and I was thinking and this is funny how God works is that I was, after looking at this, the first people I put on this, I was thinking, you know what? The person that needs to be at the top of this list is Mark, me, you know? But anyhow, on that list, though, there is that part where you talk about your part, mm-hmm. and in most things you have a part, mm-hmm. Unless you've been abused. So later on in my recovery, when I looked at the abuse that happened to me as a young man, I'm not guilty. Those are things I'm not guilty of. So you have to recognize that as well. So there is a part in there where I am not guilty. I don't have a part, you mm-hmm. know. So on that last column, Colin Pine. No part mm-hmm. and not guilty. And it's really important. I just got the chills again. Because if you don't remember that and don't think about that, then I'll be stuck like I have been forever. Because the truth is that the sexual abuse that happened with me in my life and some of some other emotional abuse. I owned all that. Mm-hmm. I thought all that was my fault. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I brought on shame to myself mm-hmm. because of it and carried the shame for years.
Yeah.
Right?
And nothing will trap you like shame. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was really freeing mm-hmm. to put not guilty and, mm-hmm. and I don't have a part.
Yeah.
So that's the other side of that.
Yeah. So even as you're talking about this, there's the information side, which is good. That's important. You want to mm-hmm. get perspective. You want to get truth. But there's a lot of application going on too. There, you got it. When you say work the steps, that means you're doing the work of the steps. It's mm-hmm. not just, oh, my issue is knowledge. I just need more knowledge. No, it's applying the knowledge and specifically working through those steps. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Keep going.
Yes. So, and when you're working the steps, you're not doing it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No. You're going in to celebrate recovery at least once a week. You're in a group. You have accountability people. Number one thing when you get sober, get into any kind of recovery program, is you need accountability people. You need people,
mm-hmm.
all right? You need people
Why
in your corner.
Why is that?
Oh, gosh, because, well, you heard me talk about me doing it all by myself in mm-hmm. the last days of my drinking and stuff. That didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
Sitting there all by myself.
Nobody lies to you more than you lie to yourself. Nobody can convince you and rationalize things more than you can with yourself. It takes having another person there with you.
Yeah. And other people feed you information. They have the power of the spirit as well, mm-hmm. right? And when you – like you and I sitting here right now, there's at least two of us sitting here with the power of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to communicate back and forth, right?
Yeah.
And
– That's how God's designed it. That's how – yeah. It's – The reason why you don't go through recovery all by yourself is that's just not God's design. No. The one thing that God said in creation isn't good is for man to be alone, he says. We are created for relationship.
And I know there's a Bible verse, but I don't know where it is mm-hmm. or what it is, but where he talks about two or more, where mm-hmm. two or more are, there
in Ecclesiastes, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Yep.
All those.
Yeah.
And in the midst of having accountability people, we also, in recovery, we want to have a person that's called a sponsor. That's somebody that's been there,
mm-hmm.
right?
So they're ahead of you on the journey. They've walked through the steps, and now they're turning around and helping you walk through the steps they've walked through.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they got some recovery time.
Mm-hmm.
They got some proof that it works, right?
It's good to have a Yoda in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was always told that when I was looking for a sponsor is to look for somebody that has what you want,
mm-hmm.
right? So you listen to them enough and you're like, oh, man, I want what that guy has,
yeah.
right?
Whether that's, man, there's just a piece about them or, man, their marriage is stronger than it's ever been or mm-hmm. something that you go, yeah, I want more of that.
Yeah, that. So you got accountability people. You got a sponsor. You got a program that is certifiable, that works.
Mm-hmm.
And and you hang out and you just do it. And when you do this – and back to the four step. Once you do that four step – you know, it's the big fear thing. But mm-hmm. once you get through that, because mm-hmm. Satan doesn't want you doing that. That's the reason why you're all jacked up over it. Because mm-hmm. Satan's like, no, I don't want you doing that. So he's going to put every obstacle in the way and make it fearful. It's not. It's hard and mm-hmm. it can be harder for some people. And a lot of times, I'm going to say this, a lot of times when we're going through a four step, if you've been through a lot, you may even want to have some counseling involved mm-hmm. when you're going through it because heavy things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Things that have been buried for a long time. Yep. And all of a sudden, you're opening up that box that's sat closed and covered in dust off in the corner. And to have a licensed therapist walk through some of that with you, I'm a huge fan of
– Key.
Yeah. I set aside money every year for therapy.
Yes.
I think it's important for all of us.
Oh, it saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was going to either, but it did. And so having counseling and therapy through that can be really helpful. So then we get to – here's the beautiful part. Then when you're done with step four, then you do step five. And all step five is telling someone else, like your sponsor,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of people might tell their pastor or somebody they trust.
Mm-hmm.
And all you're doing when you do that is you're putting it into light.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the light now. It's no longer on this piece of – in this book that mm-hmm. you've written or whatever it looks like. Now it's in the light.
Yeah.
And
evil loses its power in the light. And to your point earlier, the enemy wants you to be afraid to take these steps because as soon as you bring it into the light, it shrinks, right? It's no longer this thing that was so powerful and had so much control. It grows in the darkness and you expose it to the light and the power of God just shrinks it down and you go, oh, with God's help, we could work through this.
Yeah. I know when I got done sharing it with my sponsor, I almost felt like, what was the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, mm-hmm. really, like, that's the power,
mm-hmm.
like sharing it with them. And here's the beauty also. is that once I was done sharing it with my sponsor, and this happens often, my sponsor looked at me and said, all right, what didn't you put in there? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was funny how we knew, but then I blurped out what I didn't put in there.
Yep.
And then I cried and he hugged me and then he looked at me, pulled me away and he looked at me and goes, now you don't have to flip and drink ever again. Mm-hmm. Okay. We get it all out. Mm-hmm. So I was reminded in this moment after sharing it with him, I didn't put everything. There was one thing I didn't put on my four-step list. Mm-hmm. So anyways, so I shared it, put it into light. Oh, it's amazing. And then 6 and 7, you know, we're just asking God to remove character defects because we've got a lot more going on, right? You know, just because I've done this work up to this point. But there's...
Yeah, you're dealing with the past. Now let's deal with the present. Yeah. Okay, there's still some things in the present that I'm carrying with me.
Yeah. Like I have character defects, you know, and some of them I'm willing to get rid of and some of them I'm not. Mm-hmm. And people know the ones I'm not and still hanging on to. But... And then, of course, now we're at step 8, and this is where we become willing. There's a willingness that happens in this. Mm-hmm. And because you've done all this other work, now you are willing. You have this thing called humility, you know, that all of a sudden you have. By the way, a little sidebar.
When there's humility, there's grace. By the way, the Bible teaches God opposes the proud, who gives grace to the humble.
And I had no idea about any of this when I was first in, but when I – when I first got into recovery, I heard the word humility all the time. And I asked my sponsor, what does humility mean? And he said, he worked the steps and in the first year, and then in a year from now, we'll talk about it. And
I love that.
He just wanted me to learn right on my own, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because it's something you got to learn on your own.
This popped into my head. When Jesus is starting his ministry, John the Baptist has disciples. And then John is saying, hey, you want to follow Jesus? And he sends his disciples to follow Jesus. And they go, hey, Rabbi, where are we going? And Jesus just says, come and see. He doesn't give them an answer. He just says, let's go on the journey and you'll see. You'll learn. But he didn't give it to them all up front. And so what your sponsor did is brilliant. We're not going to give you I'm not going to tell you everything that's going to happen. You just got to go on the journey and see.
He was amazing at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in step 8, we're really becoming willing to make a list, okay, of people that we're going to say we're sorry to, make amends with. Mm-hmm. And
that's powerful.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And usually that list is part of your step 4 list. A lot of times, sometimes it's not, but generally you'll pull off that. And then in step 9, making direct amends. And the truth is that I want to scream from the mountaintops at this point in my recovery because I found something new. Mm-hmm. I found something that gives me hope. It's saving my life. And I really want everyone in the world to know about it.
Yeah.
So I got to watch out.
Yeah.
I got to be careful. Mm-hmm. And I did this. I made this mistake. I had people telling me that I was too much, you know, slow it down a little bit. Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous talks about not doing this. Anyways, but we get to make these direct amends. And what I found really crazy about making the amends is that most of the people I made the amends with, they didn't think it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a bigger deal than they did, that kind of thing. And some people, it was amazing. And then there's also a deal also. You don't make all the amends that you want to make. You only make the amends that are good. Mm. Like, I'm not going to go back to
It needs to be helpful and not damaging to them or to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stories I can say, but it's got to be helpful. Yeah, we don't want to make an amends that might hurt someone else or their family or whatever.
Yep.
So we got to be careful there. And that's where the sponsor comes in. He's going to help you with that. Mm-hmm. And my sponsor has helped me with that. Yeah. I've tried to go around these rules a couple times, and every time it's bit me. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that God is part of
this. God speaks through wisdom, and some of the wisdom is the experience of people who've gone through the journey to go, you don't need to make that phone call.
Yeah. So anyways, that's up to that point. Then you're making these amends. It's awesome. Now then, we're in steps 10, 11, and 12. A lot of people call these maintenance steps. Mm-hmm. These are steps that I work in all the time. Step 10 is basically taking a daily inventory at the end of each day and like, hey, where was I right? Where was I wrong? Mm-hmm. Basically a step 4.
You're running it through the filter, right? You're running it. Yeah.
What did I do wrong today? Mm-hmm. Or it's not about always about wrong. It's always it can be about right as well. Mm-hmm. Just like even in your step four stuff. Hey, there's a lot of things I did great. Mm-hmm. My sponsor had to keep pointing that out to me too. He's like, man, you talk really negative about yourself.
Well, we focus on the negative, right? And we forget about the positive.
Yeah, but he helped me reel myself back in and let me know about all the great things that mm-hmm. that he saw in me. And he heard about me, even in my drinking and drugging days. So step 10 is basically reflecting on the day. Mm-hmm. All right. Where was I right? Where was I wrong? What can I do better? Do I owe someone an amends? Mm-hmm. Because you want to do it now.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, step 10 says you need to do it as quick as you can.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be back here at step four again. Yep. Right? Where you've got this.
Yeah. Jesus says if you're going to give your gift and man, somebody has something against you, like you did something wrong to somebody, leave, don't give your gift, go, make it right with them, then come back and worship God through giving. I mean, these are all biblical principles that are just mapped out now into steps.
And that Bible verse is in these steps, by the way. Yeah, so when you read it at Celebrate Recovery. Step 11, prayer and meditation. It's all about that, talks about that, which is a huge part of my recovery. I get up every morning. Now, and I should say that since April, but prayer and meditation every morning has always been in my life since I've been in recovery. Some mornings I have failed at this miserably. Mm-hmm. And then when I know when I'm failing because I get sideways and mm-hmm. I'm not right. And then I might call somebody and the first thing they'll say is, I get like this whenever I don't do my prayer and meditation in the morning. And I'm like, That's me.
Yep.
So I do that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And then step 12 is simply this. Because I've made it through all of this and I'm working these steps and they're part of my life, I practice these principles in all my affairs. Now I'm able to go give this away to someone else. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I'm able to be a sponsor for someone else. I'm able to go out and help and do kind of what my job is, what I do today. Mm-hmm. I live in kind of step 12. Mm-hmm. I'm always out in the world doing whatever I can to lead people to recovery, right? And that's what step 12 is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So working at the church for years and working with Mark, when I get a phone call and somebody's hit rock bottom or whatever, one of the first people I think to call is Mark, because Mark, you've had such a heart. Some people are overwhelmed and intimidated by crisis, you lean into it and you're like, let's go. Like, I know this world. I know what to do when somebody is at the end of their rope. And what a great ministry. But had you not gone through what you went through, that ministry wouldn't exist. And so sometimes you look back and you go, man, life was hard and I went through some tough things. Don't waste it. Mark, you've been a great example of not wasting all the garbage you went through. God's used that and it's God doing the work, but he uses you. He picked you in that moment to go, I hear that prayer full of all kinds of expletives, and I'm going to answer that prayer. And Mark, I'm going to use you to do more than you could even fathom or imagine or dream of. And now every baptism, you're hugging guys coming out of the water that Jesus has changed their life, and you get to be a part of that. I want that for everybody listening. I want them to go, okay, what's the garbage that's gone on in my life? Don't waste it. Let God use that to minister to other people. Mark, thank you for being an example of that and sharing your story of that. I want that for everybody. I want that for myself. I want that for everybody who's listening.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
And that's
just, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that for everyone. And it's possible. If it's possible for me, it's possible for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I look back, I think, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. One last question, and then we're gonna pray. For the person who's listening going, I should probably do Celebrate Recovery, but they're hesitating. What's your nudge? What's your, hey, just try it out. Is it, hey, come one time? Is it, hey, commit to coming three times in a row? Like what is that thing that you would say to that person that maybe is close, but they're not quite ready to take that step?
Well, remember one thing. Satan doesn't want you to come.
Mm.
Okay. If he doesn't want you to come, that means he doesn't want you to heal. Mm-hmm. So when you do come and you put your faith over your fear, because fear is the number one thing that holds us back. But when you do show up, we always tell – I've been to we have four Celebrate Recoveries at our church. So some people say 4 weeks, some people say 6 weeks, some people say 8 weeks. The original thing I heard was this: come four times.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Come four times, because it's going to seem a little odd, a little weird. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear things that you've never maybe heard before. Mm-hmm. But come at least four times. And if you if you just call the church and get my phone number and then just call me and I'll tell you why. I'll meet you there. I'll have people meet you there. If it's a woman, if you're a woman and you're hearing this, I'll get a woman to come with you and they'll be there with you. Because we want people there with us too. But just don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stop. That's it.
Yeah.
Satan doesn't want you to go. God wants you to go. So you got to make that decision, right?
Yep.
That's the hardest part.
Yep.
And fear has held me back from everything. As a matter of fact, fear is why I never got recovery. But once I stepped out of fear, everything changed. Yeah. It's by the way, that's a daily thing. Still daily, because Satan still wants me to be in fear. So no fear today.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Mark, would you pray for us? Pray for those who are listening and that more people will go through the steps of recovery.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I just thank you first off for my recovery. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for hearing a bunch of terrible words and still coming and rescuing me anyways. That's your love. That's the love that you have for each and every one of us. So I pray for anybody that's out there listening right now to take fear and just put it to the side and trust that God wants you to come in and to get help. If you're sick and tired of waking up sick and tired, sober recovery is an amazing place to come to, and it will help you. So I pray that God would get tangled up in your heart right now in this moment and just help you with that and help change you and help you to say yes to this simple thing called recovery. God loves us. I know that. Thank you, Jesus, for showing that to me. And it's in your name that we pray. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Loving God, Loving People podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this conversation, we'd love it if you rated the podcast and left us a review. Also, sharing this with a friend is a great way to help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And lastly, you are always welcome to join us online for one of our services every week at live.sv.cc or go to locations.sv.cc to join us in person at one of our physical locations. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.